Welcome to the Thrive Church Sermon of the Week podcast. We're inviting you to experience God, forget dead religion, and thrive in Jesus. For more information regarding this podcast and other resources, visit thriveny.org. We hope you enjoy the message.
If this is your first Sunday here with us, we want to welcome you. And I'm just going to do a little quick review of what we have been doing and talking about the last month. And if you direct your attention to that picture really depicts our entire sermon series, which is called The Jesus Road. And what I don't know if you've never come up here and looked, the artist that did this actually took the Bible and used it in his artwork. And so I encourage you at the end, if you want to come up, you can take a peek if you never have. But it's really powerful. He's walking on the Word of God. So I encourage you to look at that at the end. But we've been talking about the Jesus Road. It's the road Jesus took to get to Jerusalem for Calvary, for the resurrection, and then into eternity. And he is still on the Jesus Road because he's coming back, right? So the story is not over yet. So the first week, we talked about how the Jesus Road goes into eternity, and we talked about living in light of eternity on earth, that eternity starts now. We don't have to wait till one day we get to heaven or whatever. It's on earth as it is in heaven, right? That's the prayer. We know it's not the fullness, but it's the prayer we get to live out in our lives. Then the second week, we talked about how to live on joy in the journey, right? What are you joined to? Are you looking at your situation as a problem or an opportunity? And then are you yielding to God in the journey? J-O-Y, right? And I was just thinking about this last night as I was going to sleep, because I never went to sleep because I couldn't sleep. But I was thinking about how I had said, you know, of all the things Jesus could have done as he was enduring and going to Calvary, he could have invented any kind of painkiller. He could have invented anything. But instead, he chose joy. So never underestimate the power of joy. And it's not an emotion. It's a choice. It's what are you joined to in your thoughts? It's what are you yielding to? So I encourage you to check that podcast if you didn't hear that message. Then we talked about the kingdom of God. And if you were here for that sermon, you saw me wear three pairs of eyeglasses. If you missed it, I cannot describe it, and I will not reenact it, because that was a nightmare for me. I had ringing in my ears. I couldn't see straight for a little bit. But we talked about how life puts lenses on how we see God. And by the end of it, we are like, Jesus, we'll call you friend, we'll call you savior, but you can't be my king. But if God isn't your king, how can you be in his kingdom, right? There's only one king on the throne. So we talked about the question, who is God to you? And then last week, we did The Journey to a New Country, which was a dance production, and it showed the story of leaving behind the kingdom of darkness and entering the kingdom of light. And who enjoyed Light of the World Ballet if you were here? Wasn't that absolutely amazing? What an unusual Sunday. If you're here for the first time, we love to be creative and a little out of the box. So last week, the sermon looked like a whole dance production, and it was really special. Next year, the dance production will be led by Caleb and Pedro. So just stay tuned for that, all right? But can we give it up for Pastor Pedro? Because when he did that Jesus flag, I tell you what, I was ready to go to heaven. That was really powerful. Thank you. That was right on. Thank you so much. All right, so let's get into the word. So we are in the book of Luke today. If you want to get your Bible out, I hope you brought a Bible. If you do not have a Bible, steal the Bible from the chair. It's the only thing you're allowed to steal in a church. You can always take a Bible home. They're a little old here, so we need to get some new Bibles, but you can always take one, okay? So Luke 9, and we're going to stay in Luke, but we're going to kind of move through it a little bit. Luke 9, verse 51. I got feedback that I talk way too fast when I give Bible references, so I'm going to slow down so you can get there, all right? Luke 9, 51. Here we go. When the days were approaching for his ascension, he resolutely set his face to go to Jerusalem. And we talked about how the Jerusalem means the foundation of peace. It's the capital of Israel, and it's also a future heavenly city. So what's amazing about how the word Jerusalem represents both something here now, but also something to come in its fullness. The road Jesus began to walk on was a road marked by eternity, like the one we walk on now. So once you're born again, you get invited to walk on this Jesus road in relationship with him. And some of you here today might be here because you got an invitation. And I was going to have one here, but I don't know where they are, but that's okay. It's a yellow invitation, and it says, "Hope has a name." Hope has a name. And you might be here because you got that, and you don't even know why you got it, and you don't know what's going on, and you don't know why there are 1,000 balloons hanging from the ceiling. It is a little bit odd, but we were just trying to have a party with Jesus here. But hope has a name, and you are here because God loves you unconditionally. Can you just say, because he loves me? Because he loves me. Start adding that to your prayer life, and it'll change how you pray. Because instead of praying for God's love, you're praying from God's love. It's a powerful way to pray, to just end your prayer, because you love me. Amen. It's a powerful way to center your prayer. So imagine with me, you're driving along in a beautiful vehicle, your favorite vehicle, whatever that is. The wind is rushing by the windows on the Jesus road. You're going faster and faster on the perfectly smooth, perfectly straight pavement. And then suddenly up ahead, the pavement stops. What do you do? Lord Jesus, that's the best answer. All right. So you're on this road and the pavement ends. Who is walking into church this morning and you just feel like that just described your life season? The pavement just ended. All right, but what do? You take off. You following? Every dead end is a runway in Jesus. But how many know if you're running on a runway at an airport in your best sneakers, the most expensive in the entire world, and you get to that end and it looks like a dead end, are you going to be able to fly? No. How about the fanciest car you can possibly buy? You know, hundreds and hundreds of thousands. You're speeding, you're breaking the sound barrier. Are you going to take off? No, probably not. How about a bicycle? No? How about a scooter? How about rollerblades? Ice skates? Skateboard? Longboard? No. All right, I'm just seeing if we're awake here this morning. Some of you today have been listening to the Jesus Road, and you're like, Pastor Hannah, you don't understand what my Jesus Road looks like right now. You don't understand that my pavement has ended. The road has ended, and I don't know what to do. And some of you don't realize, you think you're a truck. You think you're a scooter. You think you're a Maserati. If you're married to my husband, that's what you think you are. I don't know how. All right, and you think that you're driving that on the Jesus Road when Jesus is saying you're an airplane. You don't realize your identity in Christ. Jesus died on that cross a few thousand years ago today, as we remember it today, so that you could take off on every dead end that you experience. Are you following? So some of you think that your Jesus Road, you would describe it like the cliff in Portugal's airport. So in Madeira, Portugal, there's a runway that finishes at the cliff edge on either side. And locals are so fond of this airport that they built a platform beside the runway to watch pilots, quote unquote, give it their best shot. Some of y'all feel like that's your Jesus Road today. You're like, I got a lineup of people. They're just waiting for me to give it my best shot this life season. Is she going to make it through? Is it going to make it through? How about Leh, India? It's the 23rd highest airport in the entire world. It is 10,682 feet above sea level, and you can only fly in the morning due to strong winds, and pilots have to receive special training to land. I know about you, but I'm never going there. If you need special training, that has not got my name on it, right? But some of you are on the Jesus Road, and you're like, I think I needed special training for this, and I never got it. I didn't sign up for the special training. My pavement ended. There's cliffs on either side. I can feel the wind hitting me. It's morning, but I didn't feel like I got special training. Are you following? All right, so let's get into the word. So today's message is called Dead Ends and Runways. Can you just say dead ends and runways. You have to finish the sentence. Some of y'all have been claiming that this is a season of dead ends, and Jesus is saying, and runways, all right? So let's just ask a couple people in the Bible. How about Joseph? He was a favorite son to a slave, to wrongly accused, to a prisoner. I think that's Portugal's level of cliffs, to saving an entire nation. I think he made it off the ground. What do you think? How about Ruth, widowed, a field worker, to being a great-great-grandmother of a king and ultimately Jesus? That sounds like some high winds and then catching the wind of God. You following? How about Esther, an orphan to a queen that saves a nation? How about Moses, adopted and exiled to delivering an entire nation from slavery? How about Abraham and Elizabeth, barren nearly 100 years, and then father and mother to nations? Sorry, Sarah. My mother's name is Sarah Elizabeth, so I just got those two confused. I grew up always putting them together. Jesus, get this one. He went from a throne room to a carpenter's woodworking room. That's the first dead end. Can you imagine the difference? A throne room to a woodworker's room, to Calvary, to an empty tomb, to the definition of a runway, the ultimate dead end. But let's bring it home. How about Corrie Ten Boom, a prisoner of war in World War II, to showing the world what it means to forgive and walk in God's love? That's a pretty big dead end to a runway. I was going to start dropping names of testimonies I know in this place, but just think of your own dead end. And maybe some of you can't think of your runway yet, and that's okay, because that's why you're here this morning, because every dead end is a runway for God. Romans 8:11 says, "But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through tons of effort." Someone better tackle me one of these days. Okay. Life to your mortal bodies through workaholism. Okay. Through good deeds. Perfect living. Perfect childhood. Oh, here's a spiritual one. Through working miracles. No. Can everyone just shout no? Okay, remember that the next time you mistranslate that in your life. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. That word Spirit means breath, and it's as the wind. What do airplane wings do? They catch the wind, right? Through the Holy Spirit power in you. And give life means makes that which was dead to live. It's not just giving life like, hey, I'm going to add some life to your day with some happiness or encouragement. It's that which was dead to alive. What you choose to believe and do in the dead end places of your life will define whether your dead end can be transformed into a runway of life. So let's unpack this a little bit this morning. I'm just going to park here in Luke 24. So you can pull out your Bible. We're going to actually read the entire section here on the resurrection of Jesus. And I wanted to read like the whole story. You know, we've got the Last Supper, you've got the Garden of Gethsemane. There's so many options and places to get into the Word of God for Easter. So I encourage you, get into that on your own. If you did the Bible study last week, you will have already gotten into it. All right. But we're just going to focus on the resurrection this morning. Luke 24. Here we go. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, everyone say wondering. Have you ever wondered about something you were facing? Suddenly, two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the woman bowed down with her faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember," can you say remember, "how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." And then they, can you say remembered? his words. So they rushed back from the tomb to tell his 11 disciples and everyone else what had happened. Just say, I'm part of the everyone else. There you go. You didn't know your name was in the story. What had happened? It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, mother of James, and several other women. But the story sounded like nonsense to the men, so they didn't believe it. All right. So the number one thing that we're going to talk about today is remember. So can you just say it one more time? Remember. Who has a bad memory? Anybody? All right. What do you need? It's like fish oil or something. All right. This is going to be better than fish oil this morning. All right. I think fish oil is supposed to help your brain. But Luke 24, 6, remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. What you remember when you are facing a dead end in your life will define what you do next. Have you ever noticed what you remember? I think it's why the word trigger is so trigger happy right now, right? So an event happens and you what? You remember, right? It's part of the definition of trauma. And there's so much trauma in our world. I guarantee every single person here has been through some level, some very severe, and you need to process through that in a safe space. But remember, what you remember in the dead end moments defines what happens next, even in your body, right? The angels were reminding the women, remember what Jesus said when he was with you. But even beyond that, remember the hundreds of prophecies written by King David and Isaiah and Zechariah and Malachi and Micah and more, who all wrote about Jesus' death and resurrection. So in Luke, we read, dogs surround me, a pack of villains encircles me. They pierce my hands and my feet. All my bones are on display. People stare and gloat over me. They divide my clothes among them and cast lots for my garment. Do you see that there in Luke? Anybody find that? I know I'm doing this a lot this morning, but that's because I want us to stay awake, all right? I'll tell you a secret. That's not in Luke. That's not even in the New Testament. That's in the Old Testament in Psalm 22. It was written about the crucifixion before crucifixion was even invented. That's how much Jesus was doing his best to prepare people to say, hey, you're going to need to remember this. And some of the final words of Jesus are actually quoted from Psalm 22 when he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? But if you quote one verse from a song, you got to look at the whole verse, all the verses of the song and the chorus and the bridges, right? And at the end of Psalm 22, it says, but God, I know you haven't forsaken me. Jesus was saying, the very last thing Jesus was saying was, remember on the cross, remember. And right now, as you are facing your dead end in your life, he is saying, remember, remember, remember. Are you following? Thousands of years before Jesus even walked the face of the planet, God was preparing his people to not be afraid when things didn't go the way they thought they should. He's shouting, remember. Even the very timing of Jesus' death and resurrection shouts, remember. And some of us are very familiar with this, but when he entered Jerusalem, it was during Passover. And everything about Passover is pointing towards the cross because it commemorates when the angel of death passed over the Israelites because of the blood of a lamb over their doorposts. Everything in history was shouting, you're going to need to remember this one day, right? And it gets even more amazing because when Jesus arrived in Jerusalem, it began the week when he was inspected by the priests and the Pharisees and asked all these questions. And it was the same time that the priests were in the temple courtyard inspecting the lambs for spots and blemishes that would disqualify the sheep from being worthy of the sacrifice for Passover. Everything in history was shouting, remember. And then Jesus met the requirements for the Passover lamb. He was born where Passover lambs were raised in Bethlehem. I've been to the hill. It's a beautiful hill. And you look out over Bethlehem. It's where the shepherds were. It's where the Passover lambs were raised. In Luke 3, it says he was a mature male. That was a requirement. In John 19, it clarifies that none of his bones were broken. In 1 Peter 2, it says he was thoroughly examined and found spotless. In 1 Corinthians 15 and Revelation 1, it says, and he was slain for our sins. Can you just say yet with me? The disciples forgot. They needed some fish oil. So can you just say remember with me? Come on, say it one more time. Remember. Who are you listening to and what are you remembering when the pavement on the Jesus road ends in your situation? What you remember will define your next moment. But it's not too late to remember. Because every time we remember Jesus, we need to realize that he first remembered us. Right? So let's go continue in Luke. We're now going to be in Luke 23, verses 39 through 43. This is painting the picture of the thief on the cross. And I think that the thief on the cross is one of my very favorite, if not my very favorite, person in the New Testament, other than Jesus, of course, because he defies all theology, right? Because Jesus certainly baptized him, so you get into heaven. Not really. Certainly the thief confessed all of his sins one by one. Not really. Well, he was filled with the Holy Spirit. Not really sure, right? We don't know. Yet, what did Jesus say? I'll see you in paradise today. Right? I love that. Gets us out of our little religious box here. All right. Luke 23, the thief on the cross said, we are punished justly for we are getting what our deeds deserve, but this man has done nothing wrong. And then he said, Jesus, you got it. He must have been a pastor for a long time. Shout it out. Remember, can you say remember? I want you to remember the word remember today because what you remember defines everything. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus answered him, truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. Jesus remembers you. I think this is so weird, but the enemy tries to persuade us that our entire life is about making sure Jesus remembers us. Have you ever been there? Well, if Jesus would just remember me, I think Jesus has forgotten all about me. Maybe we don't think it, but we sure as heck act like it. Well, Jesus forgot about my marriage. Well, Jesus forgot about my finances. Jesus forgot about my health. Jesus forgot about how I live my life. He doesn't care. Jesus forgot. If the enemy can make you think that your entire life's goal is to make Jesus remember you, then we have a serious problem. Because really, the question is, do you remember Jesus? Right now, in heaven, before the Father, he is remembering you. It's not up for debate. There is no distraction in his mind. He's not worrying thoughts like we humans have to deal with sometimes. He has one focus. The thief said, remember me. And he said, today you will be with me. He is remembering you. Who knows the song, just follow me here, all right? I promise I'm being a spiritual. But who knows the song, What Does the Fox Say? All right. Maybe a certain generation won't. I don't actually know the whole song. If it's really bad, I apologize. Don't go listen to it. But there's this song that's like, What Does the Fox Say? Right? So a couple years ago, I was in Norway because I was going to my brother-in-law's wedding. And I get to this little town. I'm all by myself because I wanted to go to Norway for $50. I was like, I will eat bread and water, and I'm going to go for one day. And then I'm going to go back, right? So I get there, and I'm in this little town, and I'm walking around, and there's this plaque on the side of the road. I kid you not. You're in Norway. There's glaciers. It's gorgeous. It's my favorite place on the planet other than Israel. And it says, this commemorates where? What Does the Fox Say? The artists of where, What Does the Fox Say wrote it here. And I'm like, what? Where am I? I tell you what, it's smaller than Dryden. Like, who are these people? No wonder they're singing songs about foxes. They probably need help, right? We all do. But anyway, I travel halfway around the world, and it's like this little plaque that says, What Does the Fox Say? Well, in the Song of Solomon, I said, stay with me. Don't walk out. I promise. We're not that weird at Thrive. What does the fox say? In the Song of Solomon, foxes always represent distraction. I guarantee most of the roadblocks in your Jesus road are based on distraction. based on words that have been spoken to you, that you have spoken yourself, whether it's maliciously, whether it's condemning, whether it's subconsciously, and these words build up. Who are you listening to and what are you remembering at the dead ends? Are you listening to what does the fox say? Or are you listening to the hundreds and hundreds of prophecies and the Jewish feasts that are shouting, remember, remember, and some of the final words of Jesus on that cross, pointing to Psalm 22, saying, remember how the story ends. Remember. The road is paved with love that's stained red by the blood of Jesus, just like Passover. Luke 19, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Can you just say lost? Lost means to destroy, to be utterly destroyed, and to be perishing. The result, the resultant death being viewed as certain. I don't know about you, but I really don't like the English language because lost doesn't usually mean death in our English vocabulary. And what I realized was when you cheapen the word lost, you discount the power of the cross. And in our culture today, if you get lost, you can pull your phone out. You can say, hey, Siri, get me home, right? Or you can get on anti-Google and try and figure out some directions, right? Or if you're real old school, you can pull a map out, right? But being lost does not mean certain death in our world today. Culture today has cheapened what it means to be lost. And when we've reduced the severity of being lost, we've reduced the power of the cross in our lives and the sacrifice of Jesus. Can we just take a moment and remember what it means to be headed for certain death? We're a church that likes to honor victory and joy and hope and all of that, which is the gospel. It's the kingdom of God. But we refuse to cheapen what it means to be lost because then we discount the power of the cross. The Jesus road is not a journey in life that we can do in our own strength. Some of you keep going around the circle and you're like, why is this not working? I just can't make it work. And Jesus is saying, well, that's because you can't make it work. Otherwise, you just cheapened the cross. Because that word, when he says, I came to save, can you say save? It means heal, save, deliver, rescue. I refuse to cheapen salvation. It's a lifelong process of being rescued and healed by Jesus. Salvation is a moment, but then the process that unfolds, we got to surrender, we have to yield to Jesus. Are you following? Are you letting Jesus transform you and deliver you from old patterns? You are a child of God who loves you because you exist. Because you exist. Have you ever gone to I'll be real. I found on YouTube, I'm not going to tell you how to find this on YouTube, but back when I was little, I made videos. There's some serious blackmail footage that is still out there. One of our videos has over 100,000 views. That's cool. Maybe it's embarrassing. I'm not sure. But one of them, thank God, only has 600, and it is one of the most embarrassing things. I showed it to my husband this week. I don't know why, but I was like, hey, look at this. It was so stupid. I was like turning red. But man, when I showed that to my parents back when I was 12, they were like, wow, you are amazing. I love you so much. I'm so proud of you. Why? Not because of that, but because you exist. Jesus loves you because you exist. There is nothing you can add to that sentence. Sure, you can, of course, we're supposed to, walk out in action what that looks like of being loved, but there is nothing more you can do. And my question is, are you basing your identity on your lowest moment of your life, or are you basing your identity on Jesus? Because what you remember Whether you remember the lowest point of your life or whether you remember what he did on that cross is going to define how whether you take it that dead end or you take the runway. Are you following? Listen, this isn't magic. Sometimes that healing process takes time. Sometimes that sozo salvation of walking out the healing power of God in your marriage or in your relationships or in your mindsets, we have to work it out. But salvation is free. And he paid for that because you exist. So why don't you stand on your feet this morning? In an airplane, the slightest tweak of direction in the sky can change everything. And I shared this a couple years ago, but there was a story, a real story of an airplane that got like one point off and ended up like in the wrong continent. It was like a commercial airplane. It was terrifying. Like, Jesus, I'm going to fly again, but it's a trust walk, right? Once I heard that story. One little tiny tweak can change the continent you land on in the sky. And the first ever aeronautical chart mapped out is found written by King David, who knew a couple things about some real dead ends that he made himself, by the way. Some happened to him and some he built. But it doesn't matter whether you make the dead end or something happens to you that causes a dead end. Nothing matters because Jesus can make a runway out of anything. But it says in Psalm 121, I lift my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep, and the sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. Our identity in Christ can lift us beyond our earthly costume. Our earthly costume can be staring at a dead end. And Jesus is saying, hey, I want to lift you up. Lift your eyes to the hills. I'm going to be a lifter of your head. Look up, because that's where we're headed. We are seated in high places with him because of the cross, because he loves you, because you exist. Just going to read these two verses one last time. Romans 8:11. But if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead makes his home in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who makes his home in you. Remember our vision statement for the year, thriving homes transform cities. And the last little part from Luke 24, then they remembered. Can you just say, I'm going to remember? So they rushed back from the tomb to tell his disciples and everyone else. If you feel like you're in a moment in your life where you're like, there was a time when I felt like I was able to rush and tell the good news, or I was able to rush and share the love of God, but I don't feel that ability to rush. I'm not talking about rush in a bad way. I just mean, you know, beyond mission. If you feel like you've lost that ability, it might be because you forgot whose you are and who you are in Christ. So I just want to say a prayer for anyone that is facing a dead end today. You know, as the world goes on before Jesus comes back, it's going to look like a lot of dead ends around us. But Jesus said, don't be afraid or dismayed, but take heart. I have overcome. I have made a runway to go over. I have overcome it. Don't get stuck at the dead end. But remember the truth, because the truth will set you free to catch the wind of his spirit. So Jesus, right now, I bless every place in everyone's life today that's represented here that feels dead in your life to receive the breath of heaven right now. I bless every relationship, every workplace represented here, every mindset, every attitude, and every physical body right now to receive the life of Jesus, the resurrection power life that he died to give us. Jesus, would you make your home in us? And Father, we thank you that you are a lifter of heads. God, this isn't striving. This isn't make-believe. This isn't positive thinking. Father, when we can't lift our own heads, you lift our head. So God, would you lift our heads this morning? Would you lift our eyes to the hills to see where our help comes from? That it's not in an earthly situation. And there may even be a situation where we're never going to see that earthly solution. But we put our faith in an eternal hope. In a Jerusalem that isn't even on earth yet. In an eternal love that never fails. And we say yes to that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. If you enjoyed today's message, please support us by rating, reviewing, and subscribing to our podcast. You can find more info and invest in the gospel at thriveny.org. Go and thrive this week, and we will see you soon.